Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Ed Tomlinson. My pronouns are he, him, and tonight I will be facilitating and playing Escape from Tentacle City. And with me, in normal alphabetical order this time, I might mix it up next time, is...
My name is Becky Anderson, and my pronouns are she, her.
My name is Josh Fox. By the time you hear this message, you will know what faction I am controlling, but I do not know this because of wibbly wobbly timey wimey. Anyway, pronouns he, him.
My name is Nick Bate, and I don't even know there are factions in this game yet. My pronouns are he, him.
And I'm Sue Elliott, and my pronouns are she, her.
Are they called factions?
Not really. Not.
You've got a copy of it. When did... Hey, did you teleport it?
I stole it from your past timeline.
Yeah. Groups, I think they're called. So,
the last group's me.
It is.
No, there's two more groups. It's you and Sue.
Yeah, there is.
Well, can I ask, just because I might have to do some rethinking, the idea I had, they're kids. Is that a problem?
No.
Because of our usual safety lines, you
mean? No, I mean, they will get killed.
Yeah, so on safety grounds, I mean.
For me, I think it'll be okay because it's not straying into, like, it's not like adults abusing children in some way, shape or form. It's kind of comedic kids on bikes.
Getting their heads popped off by tentacles.
They are going to get killed by tentacles though, right?
I'm okay with that because I think it's one of the reasons I quite like reading Warhammer 40K. It's because it's just too cartoonish to be something that I find difficult.
What about everybody else?
I'm okay as long as the deaths aren't too gratuitous, you know, like more on the comedy side than on the gratuitous side.
I mean, they can happen off screen, right?
I'm happy to veil them. That's cool.
Somebody gets dragged off screen by a tentacle. All right, so in that case, it's the underage skate kids. So these are not the cool 15-year-olds who are doing the skating. These are the 10-year-olds who think they're the cool 15-year-olds doing skating.
Right.
We've got one of those upstairs. I know exactly what that's like.
So they're 10-year-olds, is what you just said.
Ish, yeah, yeah.
All right, cool.
But I'm thinking, like, in Attack the Block, you know, the two little kids on the BMXs in Attack the Block?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that mean we all have to have a BMX?
No, I know exactly what I'm getting.
I'm getting a micro scooter.
Exactly, you read my mind. What's the most annoying thing for skaters that underage skaters do? Yep. They scoot.
Yeah, 100%.
Right. Okay.
Do we all have scooters?
Well, that's what I was just asking, is do we all have to have the same or at least similar?
No, you could have a skateboard or a BMX. Right, what have I picked so far? I've picked Fighter and the Extra Object one, right? Oh, what if my mum was at the skate park as my loved one? Overprotective mother.
I had a great idea for a ridiculous name, and then I remember one of Athena's friends at school actually has that name, so I don't want to use it in case they listen to this and get upset.
No, they're not going to listen to this. What are you talking about?
I can't do it. It's not in me.
All right. So if you are loved,
yep.
You've got an extra character, and that character is with the group.
Yes, yes. It takes up one of your item slots as well, though.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. One of your items is the... Let me just double check whether there are any nuances to that. Yeah, you start with a loved one as one of your items. I don't know how I feel about a protective, overly protective mum getting dragged away by tentacles. Now I'm thinking about it.
I've just seen your character's name, Becky, for God's sake.
Really? Wow.
Are you aware that it's one of the most popular names for a limited period of years and then dropped off a cliff?
Not Khaleesi.
Both Daenerys and Khaleesi became very, very popular for a brief window and then suddenly stopped being popular.
I'm wondering if our weaknesses kind of overlap each other, Becky.
Oh.
Possibly.
I was looking at the pair of those and wondering if that's actually a problem, if the pair of you are...
Are you Harvey?
Yeah.
We're going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
This should be work. It's not like it's going to cut. I mean, double bullshitter is never going to be.
What could possibly go wrong?
Honestly, I'm a bit surprised we didn't all say that.
What's the negative trait do? Does it do anything?
No, negative traits are just role-playing
just
things.
Just fun. Yeah. So much fun.
Role-playing? Rubbish.
Do not have any mechanical effects, but serve to inspire role-playing and colour interactions between characters.
Yeah. I feel like mine... I like your negative traits so much that I'm not sure if mine's any good.
Yeah, I don't know. He's accident-prone enough, easy to role-play, that's the thing.
Oh, fuck it. I'm just going to leave it. Am I the first because I'm in the top left?
Yep.
Right. So I'm playing Alfie Potts, nickname Chunk. This is a sort of affectionate, semi-undesired, semi-consensual nickname due to his body shape. He is a fighter. He can pack a bit of a punch. And his main thing in life is that his parents have a fuck ton of money, so he has got loads of good stuff. Which, in this case, I'm just looking at making sure no one else has got a better thing than me. No, no one else has got a BMX. I'm the only kid who's got a BMX. And I also have my Super Soaker, which hopefully no one else has as well. And that's because I am spoiled by my parents.
Nice. So, Becky.
I'm playing Daenerys Carter.
Of course you are.
Popular name for a limited window of time. She is hardy. Her negative trait, if you want to call it a negative trait, is that she's a braggart. She has a skateboard. And her other item, importantly, is an Air Up water bottle.
All right, I'm familiar with those.
Yeah, you would be familiar with those. For those of you who don't have a child at school who's constantly asking for an Air Up water bottle, it's a water delivery system.
A water bottle, yes.
That costs about 35 quid.
Yes.
Which has these kind of strange discs that you put on top of the water bottle, which don't contain any flavour, but they release a scent that you smell as you drink, which tricks you into thinking you're drinking squash or cola when in fact it's plain water. They're total mould hazards. And once they've
got they are.
Yeah, they are. And once they've got you locked into this system, like your kids will be constantly asking for new flavours or their cartridges worn out because the cartridges only last for 1.3 gallons of water and then they have to be refreshed at a great expense. And it's to get around the school's requirement that you must only have plain water in your bottle and not squash.
What?
It's a real thing.
Oh, capitalism God. Never misses a chance.
Is it not also a way to make your kids think that they're getting squash when actually they're just getting water?
Well, you could just train them to drink water.
Well, I agree. I'm just saying, is that not part of what it is?
Mm. Or just have an opaque bottle and put a tiny bit of squash in there.
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with a bit of squash? Seriously?
Not allowed it.
You have to pay a lot of money for these tiny discs of plastic that smell like lemons, where you could just put a slice of lemon in the bottle.
Are these underage skate kids a little too real for everyone?
That's fine. To touch the nerve there with the Air Up.
Yeah.
is it you, Ed?
To me, yeah. So I'm Felix Hislop, yeah. I am probably the weediest one of the group, I would think. Bit pale, bit thin, very accident prone. So probably got like a wrist, what do they call them? A mold?
No. Cast.
Cast, that's the word I was looking for. Probably got a cast. She's got probably loads of knobs drawn all over it. And but he's allowed out because his mum lets him take his pet Staffy SpongeBob out with him. So he's probably got a little black patch on one of his eyes.
Of course.
This is also that you can play the dog at some point, isn't it?
Possibly, yeah. Well, the dog's going to be very protective of Felix.
That sure. is 100% what I would do.
Yeah. Poor little Felix is going to be a goner. But that's Staffordshire Bull Terrier.
Last survivor.
Last survivor there. If ever. Like, maybe you should give the Staffy the stat and not Felix.
What?
SpongeBob.
Do it the other way around.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I am Harvey Roberts. I'm Hardy. Also a champion bullshitter. I've got a micro scooter and always seem to have little firecrackers hidden about my person somewhere. I'm a bit worried Felix might have been the target of one of those firecrackers. Maybe that's why he's now got a cast. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure
maybe
it wasn't malicious. You know,
sporting
just
a few burns on his legs, possibly.
Oh my god!
I can't wait for Daenerys and Harvey to be in a scene together.
And last group, then.
Yeah. So I did actually, like, before we had Mavis St. John, I did have Community Theatre down as an option, which could be amazing if Mavis makes it. Yeah.
Can you move people between communities?
I mean, if she's the last one standing in her group.
Yeah, or also you can, if you've got a survivor, if you want to keep a survivor, you can have a one that's made it from another group come and rescue you and sacrifice themselves to keep that character. So that's not really a crossover, though, is it? They still die.
Yeah, so if we're happy with Community Theatre.
Yes, I am.
Community Theatre.
Do you want to hear any of the other group ideas I had?
You've got a selection of group ideas, have you?
No, because I've chosen my character, but if I hear something I like better, then I'll be all like, oh, no, I wish I'd chosen that one.
These are group ideas, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I've definitely yes.
All right, then.
I've got microbrewery. Oh,
that would have been so
nice.
Good.
Hen party.
Nice.
CrossFit.
Perfect.
Repair cafe.
Oh, my God.
Group therapy.
Oh, wow.
Was this game made for you?
Delivery drivers. Nuns.
Nuns.
I hope you've written these down, Sue, because we're going to need these for future games.
Yeah. Wild swimmers.
Wild swimmers.
Speed
wild
awareness
swimmers.
Course.
Wild swimmers.
We haven't got a vehicle, have we, in this group?
I'll have a van.
You should have a van.
It's a van life van.
Of course it is. But a sort of homemade, is
oh,
it?
Oh, God, well, aren't they all? But yeah.
Very extremely heavy. It can barely carry the weight of the internal.
I tell you what it is.
Wood.
It's absolutely not compliant. The all the fixtures and fittings that I have put on the inside of my van, all my little kind of kitchen cabinets and bed and stuff, takes it well over the weight limit of a Ford Transit. It's so unsafe. When I go around corners, like, two of the wheels, like, come off the ground because the weight distribution is so screwed. I can only fill the petrol tank up to half full every single time I fill it up, because if I fill it up to more than this really is too much weight.
It's the petrol that really affects the steering. It's
it
not
is.
The massive kitchen.
It's probably got like a granite worktop.
Yeah, granite worktop. Oak kitchen.
In my
in van
life van. Yeah.
A cast iron wood burner stove in
yeah.
the back somewhere.
Sloshing around.
Oh, so you should have had van lifers on your list.
I should have done, yeah.
Right, should we introduce the characters then? Is everyone ready?
Yep.
Shall I introduce mine, given that
Do
Hunter
it.
Is currently looking up Willows?
Oh, you're Hunter. Oh, no, Josh's Hunter.
No, I'm Elise. I'm Elise Bonham Brown.
Oh, wow.
Very attractive, flowery dresses, Dr. Martin boots, patchouli. Smelling. Thinks she's way better at acting than she actually is, of course, because no one ever tells her that she's rubbish because they all fancy her. Makeup and mirror. Well, it's a makeup compact selection and a hamper with lunch inside with some nice glasses and stuff because she's always suggesting picnics.
Very good.
I can go. I'm Hunter Blakely.
Oh, you're Hunter
Blakely.
Who is cool, obviously. I mean, goes without saying. And is exactly like Elise, completely self-absorbed. I'm kind of... Ed wrote Elise first, and I thought, I'm just going to do that, but...
Yeah, the boy version.
The boy version. So, often gets cast as leading men, I think, but in his heart of hearts, he's a writer.
Oh, God.
So he's always got the script that he's working on with him. Which he's happy to talk about if anyone wants to talk about it. And his motorcycle helmet. Nobody's ever seen the motorcycle, but he's always got the helmet just on his arm in case he needs it, you know.
I love the idea he gets the bus everywhere.
Yeah. Classy.
He probably walks into the auditorium with the helmet on, like taking it off sometimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyone who thinks about it, they didn't hear a motorcycle pull off. Yeah, exactly. Ed's just done a head toss.
Nice.
I can go next. I'm going to be Xanthi Bentham, in charge of props, because she is not only completely talentless when it comes to acting, but is well aware of that. I've taken Scrounger, obviously. We've also taken Slapdash. So she's really bad at props. Really bad. You know, somebody will need a gun. She will have painted a banana black. She has lots of grand...
That's almost coming out the other side of being Slapdash, though. It's like you've really got to work hard to come
she
up with
that. She does work hard to come up but she's...
With a sharp, I think maybe she has a lot of
brilliant ideas, amazing, brilliant ideas for like sets and props and things, but then never really does anything about making them until it's the last minute, at which point it's just, we'll just spray paint it black and it'll be fine. She has a van life van, as we've already discussed, which is well over the weight limit and totally unsafe, and a tape measure.
And I am playing Dennis Danvers, who thinks he is the leader of this group. And from the sounds of things, possibly actually kind of is. He has his own folding director's chair to emphasise this point. And he just basically goes around bossing people around and like getting them to do whatever it is he thinks they should do, which is whatever brilliant idea he's come up with this week. The true power behind Dennis, however, is Marie Lake, who is in effect his assistant, but possibly in reality the puppet master pulling his strings, who always has, she's the most practical person imaginable, always has the thing that Dennis needs when he needs it, and a word of advice in Dennis's ear at the right moment to get him to make the right decision that he wasn't making. And like the dog earlier, I'm hoping to play this character at some point.
I'm not sure I'm going to play SpongeBob.
I was just going to ask if Dennis took over when Mavis left the group.
Yeah, maybe.
When she left.
maybe she pissed off Marie, and then Marie, like...
Lady Macbeth, the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Anyway, maps. So what we do now is each person that has created a group creates a location, a starting location for the faction, what they came up with. Then we each come up with an additional location we would like to see potential scenes occur in. And then we do, like, join up the locations, which is... with this many locations, could be interesting. So don't be afraid to spread them out a bit.
So I've got my first location, if that's okay, for the Neighbourhood Watch. I was assuming we'd start with Neighbourhood Watch because they were the start. We started with them last time. I was trying to check with Wes because I strongly feel that the first location for the Neighbourhood Watch should be Wes's front room where Neighbourhood Watch meetings are held.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I thought that you'd like to be in control of that situation.
Yeah. Do you think Wes's house is on a slight rise so it has a commanding view of the surrounding?
Hell yeah. It's probably like the street is on a hill and you're at the top of it.
So do I do one now?
Yes, you do.
Okay, sorry. I was busy scrolling around the map, so I didn't see it. I think that the location the Women's Institute start at should be some sort of fete. So where is the fete? Is it an outdoor fete or is it an indoor fete? I was feeling outdoor.
I think outdoor.
I think I will go for the... What is this place? Do we not have to decide where we are?
So the faction always starts in the starting location.
No, I mean the whole place that we're in. You know, so the city, the...
It was like Bracknell to me.
What if you feel? I was just going to call it Tentacle City, but you can call it whatever you if you want to call it.
We're in Tentacle City. Tentacle City's the American version. This is like
Tentacleton.
Tentacle Garden City.
Fine.
Yes, you are right, Josh.
Perfect.
Okay, so in that case, we're at the Tentacle Garden City annual medieval fair. So there's going to be reenactors there who should have been one of the factions but aren't.
Oh, keep write these down. Come on, we need a book of factions.
But the WI always turn up and make like authentic, you know, preserves and things and like knitted stuff that and so forth. It's a little bit marginal to the actual medieval fair, but nevertheless, they do it every year. So that's where we are.
Nice. Well, I'm just going to go with spaceship crash site.
Yeah.
Which is probably in some sort of small area of greenery. Actually, I'll just leave it as alien crash site. You can tell me where the alien crash site is.
Bingo hall.
Of course, the famous bingo hall.
On the roof of the bingo hall.
On the roof of the bingo hall.
Fine.
Okay, I think for the underage skate kids, I think the location is the street out the front of a indoor skate park / record store that's open late. It's called Later Skaters. And
Later Skaters.
The underage kids are not old enough to go in. So it's the street outside there.
Nice. Community theatre.
God, I'm still thinking about that late night indoor skate park and record store. Just want to be there. I think it's going to be a converted church that's now like a community space. So it's going to be St. Bart's Hall, something like that.
He's a bit fiddly. Now we each come up with an additional location and then we'll try and start joining them up that we might like to see in the story.
I feel that some of the neighbourhood watch people might frequent the army surplus store. So I'm going to add an army surplus store. Do army surplus stores still exist in the world? Like,
all the teenagers in the world have bought all the surplus.
Like, I remember the army surplus store in my hometown, and I remember going there and getting combat trousers and German army shirts from there.
Parkers.
Because I don't know if you remember, there was a time in the 90s where everybody who listened to indie music had a German army shirt.
Well, there's army surplus website, but are there bricks and mortar stores?
There was a really well frequented one in Exeter called Endicott's. Remember that? That's where all the students went.
Why did the army have so much surplus that it was enough to kit out whole shops in every town across the UK? It's a little bit worrying when you think about
it. Enough to kit out legions of students who didn't have enough money to buy anything else.
It speaks of a certain amount of inefficiency, I would say.
I feel like we've got to have a pub in this.
The World's End pub. Oh, God. That's got me thinking about the miniature village. The model village. Yeah. Oh, God, no. But then the tentacles would be ridiculously big.
You could have tiny tentacles in the tiny city.
Yes. Okay. I think I'm going to create it. There's going to be a miniature village and crazy golf course.
Oh, crazy golf is such a classic.
So it's Tentacle City. Sorry, Tentacle Garden City. Mm-hmm. Model City. And crazy golf course.
And gardens.
Yeah. And pleasure gardens.
Okay, well, this is going to be very small fonts now on my post-it, but I've accepted all of your suggestions.
Why don't you make your post-it a bit bigger?
What?
Why don't you make your post-it a bit
bigger? Okay. It's a tiny location. It would be weird if it was big.
Has everyone come up with a second location?
Oh, Nick, I nearly went for Clock Tower.
I've gone for Clock Tower.
Is it the Clock Tower on which the Marty and the Doc can get their lightning bolt?
Sure, something like that.
I feel like our aliens are going to want to, you know, do something along those lines.
They are now.
Tentacle Garden City Farm.
Nice.
Good one.
Pigs?
Sure.
Miniature pigs?
Yeah.
Alpacas.
Goats.
And cafe, surely.
Mm. Oh, and those really gigantic rabbits that they had at that place we went to.
And do they sell little bags of feed for £3 a bag? Yeah. And so all the animals are a little more portly than they probably ought to be.
£3 a bag?
Cost Cost of living crisis, Josh.
So now what we're going to do is each of us going to add three connective lines to between locations. The lines cannot cross each other, so you have to do loopy loops if you're trying to be clever. So this is going to be quite the effort. So I would suggest that we do it like a line at a time or something. So
hi everyone, Josh here. At this point in the session, things get a little bit confusing from an audio only perspective because we're drawing all over a map and you can't see what we're drawing. I've removed most of the audio, I've kept a few highlights just so you can get the gist of the conversation, but don't worry, once the actual play starts, you'll be able to pick up what we're doing quite easily, I think.
Shall I start?
Oh, I was trying to start.
You start then. Go on, you go for it.
I think it would be hilarious if Wes's living room had a direct connection to St. Bart's Hall. Because I want the community theatre and the neighbourhood watch people to run into each other quite early on.
Nice.
Is that how this works?
I feel like they're natural enemies.
Not the underage skate kids.
Oh.
Maybe all these groups are natural enemies.
On one line. How many lines are we allowed?
Three.
So I'm going to go spaceship crash site to tiny model city, because that's going to be amusing.
Do we have to define what kind of connections these are, or are we just chucking down a line?
Yeah, so you can pick either. So then you will put a foot for a foot can be traversed on foot, or a car if it requires a vehicle to get there.
Can it be both? What about public transport?
So public transport. So up until threat level four, there's public transport and you can move freely between them without requiring any kind of specific vehicle. Once you get to threat level four, then all the roads are snarled up with people trying to get out of the city and stuff. That's the idea.
So therefore, walking would be better, no?
Yeah, if you have walking spots.
So I've added a line joining the street outside later skaters to the model city and crazy golf course, because I think that puts the aliens and the kids on a collision course.
Yes.
Plus also, why would you not want to skate a tiny city?
That's a good point.
I agree with that.
I'm going to link up the Unicorn Pub and St. Bart's Hall.
The army surplus store is evidently in a field somewhere.
Yeah. It's in a bunker.
Well, in that case, I'm going to use my third line to put it next to the farm.
Yeah, I like the way that we were originally doing these one by one, and now it's just become absolute line.
That's just what happened last time.
Complete line fest.
It's just a free-for-all, isn't it? What does it even mean? So, question.
Mm-hmm.
On this map, mm-hmm. if we've put down shoes, does that mean you could only access it on foot?
Yeah, well, unless you've got a vehicle that could go on something like a footpath, so a bike or a micro scooter or a pram.
And if we put a car, then it means you can only go on it in a car, or you can walk as well.
You could. So again, so within when you're below threat level four or below, you can travel on the. You're just assuming you can catch a bus on the road ones. Once we get above threat level four, then you have to have your own vehicle or find a vehicle to traverse those lines. That makes sense.
I mean, it makes the words you've said make sense, but I don't really understand why a road that is traversable by car would not also be traversable on foot.
Because it just takes too long, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But this is a garden city, surely nowhere's that far away.
All right, now you're just trying to hack the game.
Rules as written, Josh. Zip it.
All right.
The last thing we have to do is just place the faction little. You've got little circle tokens for where you are on the map. So if you take the corresponding one for your faction and put it on the starting post-it, then we're good to go for next time.
Thanks for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Escape from Tentacle City by Willow Polacek. You can find links to Escape from Tentacle City and to our stuff in the show notes. We also have a Discord, and we'd love it if you came out and hung out with us there. You can find the link to that also in the show notes. See you next time.
I've also realised we didn't do any playing Nature's Hero over Christmas.
No, we didn't.
Completely awful. But then I was very unwell from a lot of the Christmas. I know. And everything in the entire house basically broke.
Yeah, so tell us about Christmas Day on the BBQ.
Yeah, so we've got like a gas barbecue, a little one that we use to take camping with us to cook on. And then I've got a big Weber kettle barbecue. So I did we had beef and turkey, a turkey crown. So we did the turkey crown in the gas barbecue and the beef in the charcoal barbecue. And then I did the same with some pork belly on New Year's Day as well. On the back.
What did you do for like any other food? You know, like potatoes, vegetables, or did you just
serve meat? So we had Dauphinoise potatoes, which were they were on the barbecue, the gas barbecue. Whoa. For a bit, once the turkey was resting. And then we did have two, weirdly, because it's got like two boards, only two of the hobs were working, so we could manage to cook vegetables on the two hobs.
Dauphinoise potato on the barbecue just sounds like kind of amazing.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Sounds like the sort of thing that Jamie Oliver would design and do a whole program about.
Yeah, it takes a while to sort of brown up on the top, because you can't do the grill thing. You want to get a nice crispy top on the top.
Blowtorch?
Why didn't I think of that? We've actually got, believe it or not, we've got one of those little blowtorch things.
Dude!
Oh, everyone's got one of those.
Yeah, we've got one somewhere.
Have one. Is this the Christmas dinner you're talking about? Mm. I was super impressed by that, Ed.
Ed's an impressive man. He didn't even have a beard when he made it.
Good skills.
Did
you spatchcock the turkey, or did you somehow barbecue a whole turkey?
It was a turkey crown, so it wasn't so unwieldy as to deal with it.
That still feels like that's the biggest bit of the bird, isn't it? So
yeah. So as I say, we used two barbecues. We've got a gas one, so I used the turkey and the gas one because I thought.
But sort of sandwiched the two barbecues together.
No, and then we had the beef on the other one. So
was that serious? Genuinely.
Yeah.
Did you not see the photos on the Slack?
Oh, I don't think I picked up that there was beef there as well. To be honest, I think I looked at it and just was like, wow, amazing.
Yeah, so because it's about gas barbecue, it's not too bad because it had like a lid. You just basically make it into an oven, and you just have to keep the temperature regular and have it. We put it on like a cast iron plate, which then means it's sort of indirectly heated rather than
nice
barbecue from underneath. It's kind of like an oven, really.
Yeah.
Of course, for Nick, this is just like he's like, "What are you talking about? This is what you do at Christmas."
Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's a little more light and it's a touch warmer.
Yes.
Just a touch.
But now in my head, Nick, all Australians barbecue potatoes dauphinoise for Christmas dinner all the time.
Sure. Shrimps.
With shrimps
on top. With shrimp on top. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Shrimp and wise potatoes.
There's a desire in me to somehow one-up this in future Christmas. I haven't decided how that's going to work, but
I wouldn't recommend. The only thing is that I like to drink when I'm barbecuing. Surprise, surprise! But and it was also Christmas, so it was like fizzy alcohol while you're doing a barbecue. Yeah, it was pretty drunken master style by the end of it. So
was it just the four of you, or were there anybody else?
Yeah, it was just the four of us. Yeah.
Oh, that's not so bad. That
no pressure in terms of it all going horribly wrong and having beans on toast. But
because we had ten, we did Christmas dinner for 10 here. I could not have done that on a barbecue.
Hey, now, come on.
If you dream, that's it, fair. You can do it.
That's fair.
Do you remember we had our kitchen done in London?
Lordy,
for a week or two, or I don't know
how it was
long,
a month,
we
Josh.
Had to do everything.
It was a month.
Where was it?
That our whole kitchen was out of action and we lived without a kitchen for a month.
So we cooked everything on our raclette.
Yep. And the slow cooker.
So it turns out, do you know what a raclette is?
I'm trying to remember what a raclette is.
It's a cheese.
It's basically like a little, it's designed for doing some little cheese thing or something.
Cheese, raclette grill.
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, right.
Little candle flames or something? Or has it got a proper?
No, it's a heating element with like a kind of a removable hot plate on top. The idea is you like cook things on the hot plate on top, like peppers or potatoes or whatever, And then you have these little trays that you put cheese in that you put underneath the heating element.
Like a grill. So it is almost a complete kitchen, kind of.
But very, very small.
We made everything on it.
Made everything on that and the slow cooker.
And the slow cooker? Do we have a slow cooker then?
It turns out that if you put a saucepan on top of the top of a raclette, it just heats up like...
Really well.
There's no temperature control.
So you can make pasta.
It was an exciting month.
We made a casserole on it, I think, didn't we?
Yeah, well, I think we made the casserole in the slow cooker, and it was the first time that I made pulled pork in the slow cooker.
So this was great.
Okay, see, it pushes your ingenuity to its limits.
It does.
Yeah.
We didn't have to do a Christmas dinner on it.
Nope.
No, I mean, yeah, it's not ideal, but it was all right. I've done slow cooked barbecue things, so I kind of knew the way of the barbecue, so I was all right. I survived.
That's very, very impressive.
It is.
And then got charged a shit ton of money to fix it in the new year, which was great.
Well.
Anyway, maps.